Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines I refer to as USA Inc. Just getting started with today's broadcast for this Thursday. It's a Thursday afternoon on this August the 4th, 2015, just a little bit after 4 o'clock p.m. We do have a guest scheduled for you today. We will be speaking to our brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project, who will be joining us here in just about 3 minutes. And we're looking forward to hearing about some of the projects he has coming up, some of the events that their group has planned, and protesting all the garbage, all the murder music, all the filth, just everything that should not be going out over the public airwaves in our communities that are going out. And oftentimes we don't even really control these radio stations in our communities. But people like Brother Rasuli, those he works with through the Clear the Airways Project, are taking ownership of the public airwaves in their community and putting a spotlight on these corporations that sponsor murder music. You know, they want to put forth this face like they're all family friendly and what have you. And when you go into their stores and their restaurants, they're not playing that gangster crap on the radio. No, they playing some nice elevator music, something to relax you and whatnot. But you will hear their commercials on your local ratchet radio station, and you know, that's a problem. That's a problem. So looking forward to speaking with Brother Rasuli here in just a bit. Also, we'll just be going over some of the latest news today. Got a couple of things to share with you. Do want to give a shout out to those who are attending the Hip Hop Film Festival in New York City today, which Black Talk Radio Network, as well as Black Talk Media Project, is a media partner working with Revolution Media, which is the organization, or I should say the company, that is putting on this film festival that's taking place today at the National Black Theater, NYC. It started August the 3rd. Today is just the second day, so you can still get in 4 days of fresh. 4 days of fresh that's going on in New York City. We do have an intern. Tag is in attendance, and he will be conducting videotape interviews with some of the filmmakers, some of the artists that will be in attendance. Again, this is a 4-day event. You can still get your tickets if you're in the New York area. Just go to Hip Hop Film Festival NYC.com. Again, that is Hip Hop Film Festival NYC.com. 4 days of fresh. So you got 3 more days, including today, to check out all of the independent films that will be on display at the festival. All right, now let me see if we got Brother Rasuli on the line. Okay, we don't have him on. He'll be calling us here in just a bit. So in the meantime, let's look at some of the stories today. Yesterday, mostly all day yesterday. Well, I shouldn't say all day yesterday. I know on Tuesday, I talked about the killing of Corinne Gaines, the woman in Baltimore County, 23-year-old mother. I think she was a mother of two. Her and her 5-year-old son, it appears, were the only ones in the apartment when the Baltimore County police attempted to serve a warrant, and she decided that she wasn't going to be a slave that day. And so we have been talking about that case. People's rightly so are outraged at this. How can you see these constant killings? You know, and there's no justification for it. You know, we're getting all these reports that she had a weapon and she pointed a weapon at the cops and all this and that. But as I stated on Tuesday, you know, you knew it was a 5-year-old in there. And even if it wasn't a 5-year-old, you are more than capable of taking white men in alive who have committed heinous crimes. I mean, the guy who shot up the abortion clinic, the guy who shot up the theater that was premiering Batman. I just read a story yesterday. I can't recall the details of where it happened, but you had another white male shoot at cops and he got taken in alive. So there was no reason for them to go in there with lethal force. My mind is not going to change on that, regardless of what she did, what her actions were. You know, but again, there was a 5-year-old in the room, and the Baltimore County police just showed us that even 5-year-old black lives don't matter. Because they went in with guns blazing, you know, that could have been brought to a peaceful resolution. And from what I'm hearing through back channels is that even family members offered, you know, to intercede and try to talk her down and, you know, just give herself up and not lose her life that day. But they wasn't even having that. So, again, you know, it's this mentality that, you know, we just want to kill them, you know, like the officer in Cincinnati told us, what was his name? Freddie Vincent, who posted on Facebook. I believe it was Facebook, could have been Instagram, but he made a post saying, please comply with these police officers, black people, because they looking for a reason to kill you. So, you know, they looking for a reason to kill us. Now, we got it made up in our mind that, you know, we would rather die then, you know, subject ourselves to potential slavery or what have you, then, you know, VGQ, victim qualified, you know, guaranteed. So, I mean, victim guaranteed qualification. So, you know, while I would not have done what she did, well, I ain't ready to die yet. I got a lot of work to do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but there is more information coming out, new details in Corinne's Gaines' arrest warrant show that officers kicked open her apartment door after attempting to open it with a spare key that they got from, I assume, the apartment manager. So definitely want to keep our eye on that story and you know, bring you any new developments. There is an article that we share from thinkprogress.org that's taking the same view that I'm taking, that the squat police, you know, kids are just collateral damage when police decide to shoot, is the headline. And so, you know, if you're not familiar with the term collateral damage, it's usually applied to military operations. But who can argue that the way the police operate today, I mean, you might as well just call them a domestic army. You know, they got all the equipment that the military has, and you know, they often look like, you know, they on the battlefield in Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere like that. So that term collateral damage applies to military operations, and what they're referring to are civilians. For example, Who knows how many thousands of people have been killed by U.S. drone attacks that were not the target. Now, you know, I'm one of those that don't believe in extrajudicial murders and things of that nature. I think that if you have evidence of a person engaging in crime, you can arrest them. You should attempt to arrest them. But I don't think the CEO of USA Inc. should have the authority, and I don't even think the Constitution gives him the authority to kill people, you know, to be the judge, jury, and executioner. Well, when they put somebody on the kill list, it doesn't matter if they're driving in a car with a whole bunch of other people, or they're attending a family member's wedding, or if they're buying some fresh fruits and vegetables at the local market. Oftentimes they will send a drone in and will fire a missile and don't care if anybody else not on the list gets killed. So this is being applied to the case of Corinne Gaines. And you know, they did not care that her 5-year-old was, he's just collateral damage. Our mission is to take this person in, dead or alive, obviously, and if the child gets killed in the process or injured in the process, well, you know, damn it, you know, that's just how I go. So, you know, whenever somebody want to talk about, and again, I'm not painting all individuals who work in the profession of slave catching with a broad brush, but, you know, when you say that, you know, you're out here sacrificing your lives or putting your lives on the line to keep us safe, well, I'll just point you to Corinne Gaines' son, 5-year-old son. You know, they nobody put their life on the line for him. So, you know, that's how it is, man. It's real out there. The battlefield is real. It's not just something that I state. Let me attempt to get Brother Kwabena on the line. We had a couple of calls come in right when I got started. Y'all might have heard it, but I don't know. Some people called this particular number and, you know, they want to talk to me, but that's not the number to talk about any kind of services you need. That's the other 704 number. The 951-5030 is the studio line. So, but let me see if I can reach Brother Kwabena. I did hear from him prior to the program that he was going to be on air. So, let me pull him up, see if I can get him on the line. Okay, that's not working. All right, I will send him a message to try to call us, since his phone isn't accepting any calls at this time. Okay, he'll get in when he gets in. Also, just to let you know, again, if you have any comments you would like to share, any observations, anything of that nature, please try to get them in quick. I'm always interested in hearing what others have to think, even if I may not agree with it. We'll try to hash it out. But we should always try to see people different perspectives, you know, because we all have different experiences and we view the world through different lens. And I might see something that you don't see and I can help you, or you see something I don't see and you can help me. It's all about helping each other. All right. So, let me move on. Let me share some of this information from this particular article about kids being collateral damage. Yeah, but before I do that, let me get the phone numbers out. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. Hit *6 and 1 anytime you want to be brought on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. That is 704-951-5030. Okay, just heard back from Brother Rasuli. He'll get with us in about 5 minutes. All right. And also, you can hit us up via Skype. That is Black Talk Radio Network on Skype. And you can use the free conference call line. Don't want to stay on air longer than I have to today. I mean, I ain't got no problem with going 2 hours, but I do need to get the rest of these reports out to our donors who contribute to the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Certainly appreciate everybody who financially contributes to the network. I know last night the digital radio station by itself had over 100,000 listeners. So, you know, every year so far this month, you know, we've come in at over 100,000 unique listeners. I just wish that we could somehow convert those 100,000 who find, you know, this station to be of some kind of value if they're tuning in, if we can get them to make some contributions. As you know, you don't hear any kind of corporate advertisement on this network at whatsoever. We don't apply for grants from the government. This is truly an independent Black media platform, and the only way it can stay that way if people support it. One of the projects that we are working on is, how long have we heard people say, I wish there was something, you know, another platform besides Facebook. Let's get off of Facebook and all this and that. So Tuesday I said that, you know, if somebody donate the money for the software, I would go ahead and build that Facebook clone website. Well, the money came in, and I've already gotten started. I'm anxious to get started on that. So I'm like chomping at the bit to get it up and running. It will be attached to the Black Talk Radio Network. The website's already up, but it's just the bare bones. And I need to install that software. And we will have an alternative place for those who don't like being put in Facebook jail, who don't like being censored and what have you. So we will build an alternative. So we'll build it. We'll see if they come, or if people just like complaining, you know, about this or that, and then they want to stay on the plantation. So I'm just very excited and very thankful that people, you know, they want to see these things, and they're willing to, you know, donate. They're willing to donate in order to see us make these things become a reality. All right. Again, Brother Rasuli will be calling us in just about 5 minutes, well, less than 5 minutes now. He is with the Clear the Airways Project. Every 2 weeks he comes on a Thursday to share what the latest event they have coming up, the latest demonstration, the latest action that they are taking in order to clear the airways. Again, Malcolm X said it best. He said, media is the most powerful entity on face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses. Now, he was talking about primarily the American news media and how they lie to folks, you know, and how you believe in lies and thinking that, you know, you got the truth because Dan Rather told you, or, you know, pick one of these political pundits on television, and you think you got all the information and whatnot, and you don't, and you don't. And they, you know, mess your mind up, and now you're making bad decisions because you don't have the right information. So, you know, but in terms of entertainment music, which is area number 9 in the 9 areas of people activity, entertainment is number 3. It's number 3 if I recall correctly. And so what they call an entertainment is really, it's really programming to get the people who expose themselves to that type of music to engage in the very behaviors that they're promoting in the music. I mean, studies after studies have been done to show the link between media and behaviors. It especially, you know, manifests itself in young minds, because young minds don't fully develop until a person turns about 26 years old, and then they still may be immature emotionally. So, you know, let me see. I believe this is Brother Kwabena. Brother Kwabena, do we have you on the line, sir?
Yeah, I'm here, Brother Scotty. How are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm just surviving behind these enemy lines. I'm doing better than most, and so I like to keep that in mind before I start complaining about any personal situation I'm going through. So like my uncle used to tell me before he died, he said, you still walking on top of it, right? He said, then you're doing just great because you ain't 6 feet under. So I'm doing great. Brother Kwabena, how are you today?
I'm good too, man. But you're right, dude. It's like just like what you said. There's so many battlefronts in this war on us in this society that we really have to struggle to survive the United States of America. We really have to struggle.
Yes, we do. We really, really do. And you know, as you called in, I was just explaining to the listeners the work that Clear the Airways Project is engaged in and why it's important in the context of Malcolm X telling us how powerful media was and how it controls the minds of the masses. Now, as I was telling the listening audience, he was talking about the news media, but we can apply that same principle to every other piece of media, particularly, you know, the radio, this slop hop, I don't dare call it hip hop, but this slop hop that they're playing, and then, you know, even the movies and stuff that they put out. And so when you saturate the community with so much violence being planted in the images of violence in their mind, it's not hard to understand why that might manifest, you know, in some of our people. So I was just explaining that to them. Now, I know you got a couple of events coming up, but before we get into those events, Brother Kwabena, do you got anything happening in the news or anything you've become aware of, you know, politically, socially, that, you know, is on your mind that you would like to share with us?
I mean, you know, like Max, bro, every August is Black August, but he deals with all year round. You all deal with it all year round, and we should focus on this all year round, but especially during this time, as we need to put up the pressure to get our political prisoners released from these prisons, these dungeons all around the United States and elsewhere. It's just kind of crazy. You know, you got people who shot presidents or tried to kill presidents about to get out, and, you know, and our people who are fighting for our freedom still linger in these jails. And so that's the thing that we always focus on, especially during our August, Black August. So, you know, we're working with the local Black Lives Matter group here to have an event here in Gary. Also, there'll be one coming up in Chicago too, so we'll be sharing that information with you and Brother Max. Mm-hmm. Just these forums on releasing our political prisoners.
Right. And for those who may not be aware of what Black August is, Black August originated in concentration camps of California. We call them prison plantations, to honor fallen freedom fighters Jonathan Jackson, George Jackson, William Christmas, James McClain, and Katari Golden. Jonathan Jackson was gunned down outside of the Marin County, California courthouse, on August the 7th, 1970, as he attempted to liberate three imprisoned Black liberation fighters, James McClain, William Christmas, and Rochelle McGee. So I will share that history on our Facebook page. You can read so much more about it. Thank you to the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement for posting this, and that has been shared with you all on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. So let me go ahead and send that out. So thank you for bringing that up. It is Black August. As we remember the fallen soldiers, we remember those who are prisoners of war, okay? And just celebrating the spirit of resistance that started when the first Black person or African person was enslaved on this continent. All right, so what are some of the events that you all have planned? I know you mentioned Black Lives Matter. That's going to be a Black August event, focusing on Black August?
Yeah, we work with the United African Movement, and we have one every year, but we're going to work with Black Lives Matter out of Gary to put this one on this summer. And also our brother Khaled out of Chicago, who's been doing great work on behalf of political prisoners in the Chicago area. So we got something coming up there too. We'll be sharing more information about it. On the music tip though, we're keeping it with the theme of Black Lives Matter. The Hip Hop Institute, it has a couple programs coming up. Do Black Lives Matter in Hip Hop? And part one is going to take place next Thursday, August the 11th, at the W.B. Du Bois Library in Gary. The soon-to-be-closed W.B. Du Bois Library in Gary. This is so crazy. A whole nother crazy story with this system we live under. But, yeah, so we're having that on the 11th. And on the 13th, we're going back out to McDonald's again for our demonstration, trying to get them to stop demanding that they stop buying commercials on these radio stations that tell our children to kill each other. And I'm going to share an example of that I just heard.
What's the radio station?
Yeah, huh?
What's the radio station? Is it 92.3 up there?
92.3 and WGCI,
okay.
107.5. Both of those two are the two radio stations that spew the majority of the poison on young African children, young Africans out here in the Chicagoland area. Those are the two. So that McDonald's is like their biggest sponsor. And so we'll be hitting them up again on the 13th, and that's at the McDonald's on Grant Street and 35th in Gary, Indiana. That's at from 10 o'clock to noon, and we need warriors out there with us. We really do, to put shut it down. Last time, we almost got arrested.
Yeah, I remember you was telling me.
Yeah, some cops said we can't walk on the sidewalk, and the sidewalk was their property. And he look, Scotty, he said, you know, you can't be over here bothering or disrupting the customers. And I said, man, this is a protest. Everything happens at protests. So another one who had a little bit more sense came and said, man, I don't know what the dude tripping on. But anyway, so that's happening again on the 13th. And then we're heading over to the city of Chicago to the Culture Connection on the 25th of August, which is a Thursday, to do part two, Hip Hop Institute, the Black Lives Matter in Hip Hop. So that'll be at this place where we have a lot of good speakers and good people come in. That's the Cultural Connection. So that's taking place again on the 25th in the evening time. So, man, just a lot of work to do. We had a real good meeting with CIMOTEP last Saturday up in New York.
Can you explain what CIMOTEP is for those who don't know?
CIMOTEP is a committee to eliminate media offensive to African people.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're headquartered in New York, got a good branch in L.A. too, and so we know that, we know some of the people in the group and how powerful they are, Sister Betty Dobson, Brother James McIntosh, and others, and, you know, hey, let's work together to make this happen. And so they're down with us, and they showed and proved on last Saturday, and we got some things happening, and they're going to work with us to get this crap off by the end of the year. Our goal is to get it off by the end of 2006, and that's too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say this is a long struggle, and they're right, but we've been working at it a long time. And like you and I, we always talk about, Scotty, no other race, no other group of people would take this.
Right.
Would take this crap. Did you see what I sent you a little while ago in terms of what I just heard on the radio?
Yeah. If you want to share that with the listeners, please go for it, bro.
It's a song. I think it's Young Dro, along with T.I., Tip, whatever you want to call himself, that so many people seem to think is some sort of, I don't know what to think about him, but I know he's a slop hop, violent, ignorant rapper. Tip, they call him. I know there was a shooting in New York with somebody at one of his concerts, and, you know, he had young Dobie got shot following his footsteps, and he had a young cat, one of his buddies, got shot in Cincinnati. And he takes all these guns and gets stopped with all these guns and goes to jail. But I don't know how many guns he had in that car, man. He's out in a year. He's out. So anyway, but you know, that's Tip, and they love him. You know, he's popular, mainstream. He promoted his own show with his family, and it looks like he got some sense. But other way, what he puts out there musically, he doesn't have any sense. But he's on the song with Young Dro called "We Be in the City." Most people know it as "Car Ain't Got No Roof," and they play it all the time. And so I just heard it on the radio in Chicago, in a city where 11 plus people are being shot every day. Over 11. And if it was 11, 10 and a half of them look like you and I, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
10 and a half of them look like you and I. And check out some of these lyrics. He said, just like the popo do. And it's just so stupid what they say. Just like the police do. Dunk on you and have your hole switched over to the left side. Crossover. Give me some more. Give me some more spraying bones. I'm going to keep dumping the clip. Pop to my man comes, land bombs, landmines, MAC-10s, Tech-9s. Y'all ends gonna respect mine. I'm have your the whole set crying. So he done shot one of the homeboys or whoever, or homegirls, and the whole neighborhood's gonna be crying. I'm had a police light man down, spraying rounds, talking to town, AK clip walking around, busting the Glock, busting the K. Ends trying to get bust in the face. And gonna catch one in the mouth. One in the chest, one in the face. Change is great. Platinum S. Killing is rapping. Anyway, I'm an activist. He claims he's an activist. Car ain't got no roof. We be in the city. All my bees are with me. Dude, did you hear what I just said?
Yes. Wow.
This is at 2 o'clock. Hot, 90 degree, hot summer in Chicago. On the radio, children out of school. And this is what European-owned radio stations are targeting young African children with, and sponsored by McDonald's.
Yeah. Whose label is T.I. with?
Hustle Gang is what he brags about. Let me see what Hustle. I'm not sure who Hustle Gang, who he's with. What
I don't worry about it. I'll look it up. T.I. is signed to what label? It looks like he's with Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia.
And he signed a distribution deal with Roc Nation earlier this year. That's Jay-Z.
Oh, he was lazy?
Yeah. So he signed to Columbia Records in 2013, but he got a distribution deal with Slave Z, as the Militant Mind Militia would call him.
Yeah, Chairman Fred like calling that too. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, again, you know, let me just say this right now. Okay, I have long supported Black Lives Matter from the beginning because I know it was a movement, a young movement, just to continue. All it was a hashtag that was applied to a movement that was already occurring in the streets. I mean, we can take it back to Gina Six, you know, when all the college students ran down to Gina, Louisiana to demonstrate against the outrageous charges that was levied against, you know, those six young black men and what have you. So this is, you know, and again, Black August today, you know, we celebrating Black August. So resistance has been going on for a very long time. And so Black Lives Matter is just the latest generation's manifestation of black resistance to white supremacy, police terrorism, and what have you. And, you know, people immediately try to dismiss them, try to say they funded by white people and what have you, and, you know, just really try to throw dirt on them and what have you. But, you know, and then one of the common criticisms we would hear is, well, you know, if black lives really matter, what about black on black crime? But again, like I tell people, I can go back to when I was a teenager and there were Stop the Violence campaigns going on all across the nation. I'm 50. I'll be 50 in November. So we're talking over 20, 30 years, you know, that these Stop the Violence campaigns have been going on. Just because they not being featured on CNN and all of that by the mainstream media don't mean that people haven't been addressing this. And when we look at the FBI crime statistics that show violent crime is falling, I don't attribute that to anything that cops or law enforcement is doing. I attribute that to the grassroots activists like Brother Quabin or Rasuli, who is out here trying to say that, you know, Black Lives Matter and the type of music that you're targeting with us with does matter, and it plays a role in the violence. So, you know, here you are, Clear the Airways Project, teaming up with Black Lives Matter to ask the question, well, do Black Lives Matter in hip-hop? And so, you know, when we say hip-hop, of course, hip-hop is a movement, too. Okay, it's a movement, too. It's an artistic movement. There are several principles of hip-hop. I can't recall them all right now. I recall one is having fun. One is, you know, good music and all of that, graffiti. It's a culture, all right?
DJing and MCing, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And knowledge, the fifth element, knowledge. Cassius D like talks about the fifth one, knowledge, you know, spreading the knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, so here, as I try to tell people, when the Black Panthers started out, they were just focused on police brutality. But later they expanded to address sickle cell anemia with sickle cell testing, the first of its kind. These people developed that. Free clinics, food programs, and what have you. Just they had over 30-something, what they call survival programs. So, you know, here I'm seeing, this is the way I'm interpreting this, is Black Lives Matter just expanding its work. and, you know, in working with other people who already been out there doing the work and what have you. So that's the question we need to put to the CEOs of Columbia Records, where T.I. is employed by, you know, on a music plantation, need to be addressed to Lucian Grange. I think he's like the CEO of Universal Music. I think 2 Chainz in them is on his label, on Universal's label. And so, you know, does it matter? Let's ask to Lil Wayne. Does Black Lives Matter to you, Lil Wayne? Does Black Lives Matter to you, T.I.? Well, if you saying they do and you support the movement to make Black Lives Matter, and then why are you talking about, you know, all this killing of black people and promoting this garbage to our people? So I think it's an excellent question. How did this come about, this event that's coming up with?
Actually, one of the sisters in who works with Black Lives Matter, and Gary, came up with the concept, because I've been begging and pleading with the group to help us out with this Clear Airways project. And, you know, just equating to it, like what you just talked about, when we were just at 200 shootings in Chicago earlier this year, there was only one of those that was documented police shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would say that. So, I mean, and so it's okay. Well, let's do something. We already got the Hip Hop Institute, and so we're gonna do it under the guise of the Hip Hop Institute. And it was Black Lives Matter, the group, and Gary to help, you know, help come up with this concept. And we thought, yeah, let's make that happen. And so that's what we're gonna do. And you are so right, brother. How you break down these Black Lives Matter and what it's about. One of the things that also just took place, you know, on Tuesday was National Night Out Against Violence. And in Gary, Indiana, our mayor was on with Charlene Hunter Galt, who I think she may have been the first sister to integrate University of Alabama, but she's like a journalist, a strong journalist now. So she came to talk to our mayor, Karen Freeman Wilson, and she was talking about the great job that Gary police are doing now and their policy for policing. I'm like, she was coming. What she was talking about was all the stuff we were talking about that we were challenging her with Black Lives Matter and before Black Lives Matter, because they were running those sweeps in Gary, a city which is about 90% African. We had all these police coming from these cities outside of Gary in to have fun and arrest a lot of people. And those are their words into Gary. And doing sweeps. And so we complained, we demonstrated, we remonstrated, we fussed, we argued, to the point where Black Lives Matter started working with us on this, and they ended those sweeps. Now, we still have county and others still coming in too much, but the practice of these outside cities surrounding us and further coming in, that stopped.
I mean, they was importing slave catchers to do slave catching sweeps. Wow.
Yes. It was. I'll share the form we had a little earlier. I'll share that with you. But yeah, that's exactly what they were doing, and we put a stop to it. But she was bragging when we ended the sweeps, not without pressure from the people,
right?
And but you know what, though? But when Black Lives Matter came into being, which is one of the reasons why we understand and work with them, because we know they got juice. And the reason they got juice is not so much about what Alicia Garza and those others are doing, and we appreciate what they're doing, because they created that hashtag, and they seized the time, like we say, and that's what's happening. But they got juice, and Michael Brown, people in St. Louis, you know, the people in St. Louis, brother, we got to give them credit, man. They, you know, Ben Ferguson, they did the do. They put in the work, and not just them, because people came from all around everywhere to support them in what they did. In protesting and fighting for justice for Mike Brown, and you know, so it's all connected. But man, there were plenty of people doing work before this, and you and I both know it. You talked about it, but the thing is, the bottom line is, though, when we say BLM is coming or put pressure on in that manner, you know, it's getting some juice, and that's one of the reasons. And we say, okay, we need the juice in this music, because what you just heard, what we just talked about, is hideous, and that is the norm, and that's the violent part. You didn't hear the sexual part. You know, we didn't hear the part about the drugs that you need to be taking.
And this was on, you said you heard it today, so obviously it did not come on when obscene music, really you ain't supposed to have obscene music on the public terrestrial radio airways regulated by the FCC, but if it's adult oriented, it's only supposed to come on between the hours of 10 o'clock p.m. and 6 a.m.
Yep, and like you said, obscene, never obscene is not supposed to be allowed. But, bro, it's like It is absolutely crazy, but, you know, we got to put, they ain't going to stop unless we make them stop it.
That's true. Got to put the pressure on them, and I'm glad to hear that Black Lives Matter and Gary is joining in and seeing how this correlates, you know, and just, again, for the people that want to say, well, they don't care about the crime that's going on, even though I know that's a lie, now I can point them to something. Oh, yeah, yeah, you need to be asking if black-on-black crime matters to McDonald's. Does it matter to Walmart? Does it matter to Clear Channel? Because if they do, if they say it does, since you're getting all this money for, out of our community, then why are you sponsoring this murder music, this music that facilitates self-genocide, that promotes all kind of crime and just, you know, ill behavior, incorrect behavior? So, you know, put it right back on the source, because they are the source. Yeah, T.I.'s mouth is moving and the words is coming out of his mouth, but if wasn't nobody willing to pay him to say those words, then guess what? Those words wouldn't be said. But I'm not... go ahead, Brother Quabin.
And they not only wouldn't pay him or wouldn't be playing that crap,
exactly,
or wouldn't be sponsoring the playing of that crap on these stations, and he would be singing a different tune. The majority of these rappers and artists wouldn't be singing this violent crap if it wasn't being played and promoted, because they say, because they want to make money, they want to be rich. And some people say, "Asshole, why y'all get on the artist?" We don't let the artist off the hook, but we don't focus on the artist.
Right.
One of the reasons why we don't let them off the hook or excuse them, because the system won't excuse them. You know, when they do like Bobby Smurda didn't snitch on themselves, the system ain't excusing them. I think they excused T.I. for some reason that we all may, I don't know why they excused him. You know, he did a year, but he's back out again spreading more poison. But we don't let him out. We also know that once Smurda is gone, once a Young Dog is killed, not Young Dog, Doe B is killed, they'll find somebody else to replace him, because they know we're struggling.
Right.
And we're confused, and they're confusing us. So that's like pawns in the game. We talking about the ones who are controlling this stuff. And we'll take it to the level of L.A. Reid and his sorry, no good self, who gives contracts, you know, to these people working on behalf of white supremacy and the destruction of his own people. We check them too, but these corporations, these mass media outlets and their sponsors, those are the main culprits in this madness,
right,
in the system. So we got to deal with them, man, because, you know, we're feeling the effects in terms of our families, in terms of our lives, man, in terms of our lives. And it plays a big role. We always say this every time we talk, that music is culture, and culture is defined as a people's way of life. You know, the way they do things, everything they do, from the way they deal with their children when they're born, the way how they bury their dead. And I was reading the great Walter Rodney's book, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa, and he talked about that, and he said that culture is so important.
Yes, it is, and if music is culture, although, you know, rightly I would say it's part of a culture, but here in the United States, they have defined our music as our culture, all right? And so, in reality, since we ain't in control of it, all right, since corporations and their CEOs get to choose what type of music is going to be on and who gets the big music contract to sing a certain type of music, you know, it's on them. It falls squarely on them. Now, like you were saying earlier, though, I don't excuse the individual artist's behavior either. Even though, you know, he is not the most to blame, but we all have free will, and we have to stop making excuses for ourselves. Though when we get enough artists that say, you know what, I don't want to promote that's not, you know, this, that type of music doesn't represent my values or principles, or I have changed my mind and I see the damage that I'm helping you do to my community, so no, I'll just be an independent artist. Or until we have enough of those, you know, I feel if we had enough of those, then it would end, because they wouldn't have no proxy racists to do their work for them. But again, being realistic, like you said, they always find somebody else who will take that plate of butter biscuits if you don't want them. So,
man, it's like look at people like Yasiin Bey, most formerly known as Mos Def. I mean, I haven't heard his last album. My God, was not one N-bomb dropped in it. You have people like Stickman from Dead Prez. His on the last album, I heard from him, and I think the one before that even, not one N-bomb dropped in it. So even, these are conscious artists who are even involved even further. And so we got a lot of artists who are out there still, and we always talk about this. We love them for this, that they understand that they most likely will not get play on these ratchet radio stations, yet they still do not make music with lyrics in them that disrespects their people, their women, encourages all this ill stuff these others are doing. And we love them for that because they know it's going to be tough for them to make it. Even though they got great skills, even though they got good messages and good beats, I ain't going to do that.
Well, if it's any independent artists out there that's listening now or listening, you know, to the podcast later, please go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Look in the list of different stations or program profiles. You will see a profile for the station, the Message Music Station, which I launched about maybe 2 years ago. Okay, so if you want to get your music on our station, all you got to do is follow the directions that's on there. Email me, okay, and you know, especially you get all the details because I need the album art cover. I've had people send me stuff, and it's just a raw file. And, you know, that creates extra work. But, you know, the links, if you got it on iTunes, wherever you selling your music, I need all of that. Because when it plays your music, it'll have a purchase now link to it on the page. And they can purchase your music. So if I can support you by giving you airplay on the Message Music Station, please don't hesitate to hit me up. Brother Kwabena, hit the people off one more time with the upcoming events.
Okay, next Thursday, part one of Do Black Lives Matter in Hip Hop. That'll be appropriately held at the W.E.B. Du Bois Library on 19th and Broadway in the Chocolate City of Gary, Indiana. That's next Thursday, 5:00. Then on that Saturday, which will be the 13th of August, we're demonstrating at the McDonald's on 35th and Grant Street. We're demanding that they stop buying commercials on these radio stations that tell African children and African people that they should be strippers, dope slangers, dope users, and they should be killing each other, calling each other, dropping N-bombs on each other, and McDonald's sponsors this poison. And then on the 25th of August, Thursday evening, we'll be at the Cultural Connection over in Chicago, part two, Do Black Lives Matter in Hip Hop? And again, shout out to CMOTAP, shout out to Black Lives Matter, shout out to organizations that are going to work with the Clear the Airways Project that have been working with us. Rage Against the Ratchet, Do Better Now, brothers out of Philly, other people, brothers out of Jacksonville, Florida, sisters, and who are working with us to get this crap off these radio stations by the end of 2016. That's the battlefield we're on. We know there's plenty of other battlefields and there's war against us, but we need warriors for this. This one's so very important, and we must do it. We can do it, and we must do it. We must protect our children. The children can't fend for themselves, so the adults must protect them, and this is the war we're on right now, brother. We're gonna win it, though. Appreciate you and what you do. And don't forget, man, we do a conscious hip-hop show every Friday night, so I got to get with you about that music, too, man, because I got a bunch of conscious music. I got, like, 34 volumes of conscious hip-hop CDs, man, so.
Oh, no doubt, man. Get them to me. I will get them on the Message Music Station, and we also play music on this station when we don't have live talk radio programs on. How can people get in touch to support the Clear the Airways Project?
Best way to check us out is on Facebook. That's where our biggest presence is. It's Clear the Airways Project. Check it out on Facebook. That's the best way to contact us. And like I said, we need some warriors. Also, you can check us, just email us at Clear Airways, like in the ocean waves, clearairwaves@gmail.com.
clearairwaves@gmail.com. Brother Kwabena Rasuli, Clear the Airways Project, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you, sir, and you keep up the great work on behalf of our people. You have a great day, sir.
You too, Scott, and you keep up that good work too, brother. Black Talk Radio ain't no joke, man. One love.
All right, that was Brother Kwabena of Clear the Airways Project, engaged in the very important work of saving black lives and trying to stop the quote-unquote black-on-black crime by eliminating one of the sources. And what is that source? The media that's controlling the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X stated. Always wonderful to speak with Brother Kwabena. All right, so let me see, again, if you have any questions or comments, we're going to wrap it up at the top of the hour at 5:00 again. It is the first 5 days of a new month when I'm working on the statistical reports for all of our media operations. I still need to work on several others and get those out to our list of donors and our media partners. But also, there was something else that I wanted to share. Oh yeah, there is a new thing that I have set up for like text messaging for the radio station. I posted it. I'm still working with it, but it is set up. If you go to Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page, and I probably will need to put this on our other pages on our own website as well, but I just started working with this last night, but you can get text and email updates from Black Talk Radio Network's flagship digital radio station via this app we're using called GroupMe. And you can join via the link that we share on Facebook. I will get this posted. So, like, the reason I set that up is, like, sometimes things happen and a radio host may have to cancel their live program. And then people, you know, they looking for their regular listeners and, you know, they go to tune in and then that person isn't on air and they don't know what's going on. So that way I can update you on the day-to-day operations in real time about the programs that's about to come on air, or if there have been any cancellations or any kind of special message like that. That's just for the Black Talk Radio listeners. All I'm gonna send out is information pertaining to our live programming. And you can also comment on the programs. You know, if you don't want to call in or anything like that, you can send us a text message via this group messaging from GroupMe, GroupMe.com. Let me see. What is the next item that I want to take a look at? Again, there are some news stories that we have posted. This one here in North Carolina, but, you know, when it comes to environmental protection laws, you need to be watching out all over the country. Again, look at Flint, Michigan, you know, still reeling from the environmental poisoning of the people there. That was a terrorist attack, if you ask me. But all over the country, you know, we've heard on different programs on this station, I'm sure, you know, you've heard other people talk about how they are destroying Mother Earth, how they are destroying the environment. Well, you know, right here in North Carolina, a bunch of right-wing racist white folks came into power in the past couple of years, and they've been doing everything they can to dismantle not only practice racism through employment discrimination and things of that nature, passing laws, but also deregulating or weakening the state environmental protection laws. You know, the Duke Power, or it's known as Duke Energy now, is the major electricity provider here in North Carolina, and they have already polluted the Catawba River, which is the main river in the area I live in, where I used to go swimming and fishing when I was a teenager. But I no longer eat fish out of there because the river keeper did some testing of the fish and found that the fish, especially the bottom feeders like catfish and what have you, have carcinogens in them. Carcinogens are industrial waste, that's the best way I could put it, but it is a metallic like material that causes cancer. And so a lot of those fish are contaminated in the Catawba River. Well, that's because Duke Power had these coal ash ponds, you know, the waste coal from these coal-fired electricity plants and what have you. And then they put these on in these ponds, man-made ponds that they have dug up and not far from the river. And so I'm like, why would you even place something like that close to the freaking river? Where then if something happens, it could seep out. If it's a major storm and it overflows, it's going to flood right into the damn river. These people don't care. They know that. They smarter than me. I ain't no engineer or any. Well, I am a radio engineer, but, you know, They should know. But they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. So there is a powerful new report that is documenting the demise of North Carolina environmental protection laws here in the state. Also, we had Pat McCrory, who is the governor, who's been in the spotlight a lot lately, mainly for the HB2 so-called bathroom bill. But he is now trying to call this black man who happens to be a toxicologist, saying that he's a fraud. Again, talking about the coal ash drinking water. Let me share a little bit with you from North Carolina Policy Watch. Again, even though this is local to where I live, this is happening all over the state, and you need to know what is going on in your state. A lot of times we do focus a lot more on national or global politics, and we don't even know what's going on in our own backyard, and that's a problem that should not be. When Governor Pat McCrory decided to repudiate the state's veteran toxicologist Ken Rudo about coal ash, one of the most controversial issues facing North Carolina, he didn't do it himself. Instead, he sent his chief of staff, Thomas Siff, to do the difficult work. In a late-night press conference designed only for TV cameras, newspapers, and digital media, including NCPW, were not notified of the event. How you gonna have a damn press conference and not notify the press unless you don't want people to know about something? Stiff denounced Ruda's deposition. In it, Ruda said the state health environmental officials told homeowners their drinking water was safe when in fact it was contaminated with cancer-causing hexavalent chromium from coal ash. The state initially told residents not to drink their well water, but later reversed its position and said it was safe. Rudio, who has been deposed by the Southern Environmental Law Center, the SELC, has sued Duke Energy, McCrory's former employer, over violations of the Clean Water Act in the coal ash spills. Rudio testified that McCrory's office had summoned him to the governor's office to discuss the language and advisory DEQ would send to well owners. In the deposition, Rudio even remembers what he was hearing, wearing a t-shirt, shorts, and moccasins. He was concerned he wasn't properly dressed for the occasion. All right, so you can read the rest of this. But again, look, Flint is not an isolated incident. It is not an isolated incident, okay? And while Flint does primarily affect black people, it affects other people as well. Here in North Carolina, it's affecting everybody, you know, particularly those homeowners who may have some waterfront property on the Catawba River, and therefore your well water is contaminated because of the coal ash spills and what have you. I mean, it's terrible, man. It's going on all over the place. These people don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about your children. And it's obvious. It's obvious. They don't care. So thankfully, we don't get our water here where I am, you know, from any other city water or anything like that. You know, we get our water from an underground aquifer that's under our property, you know. And so, you know, it's some of the best water I've ever drunk. But should I just be concerned that I got clean water? No, you know, because at any time that could change depending upon how, you know, they do fracking and stuff, which is another issue here in North Carolina. They could poison our underground aquifer. So, you know, this is an issue that is not to be taken lightly, as Flint, Michigan really put that on display. And those people still have not gotten the help that they need and the help that they deserve. I read that 6 people have been arrested over it, but you know, that still ain't healing. That ain't gonna heal the babies and the little kids and the grown folks who have been poisoned by this. They need relief now. They should have been relocated. If the U.S. government can relocate refugees from whatever region that they have messed up and destabilized, then you know, why can't we see the same thing here in this country? Well, we have seen it when it applies to flooding in the Midwest and, you know, where it's primarily white people being affected by this. But, you know, when it's primarily black people, well, you know, look at Katrina, look at Flint, look at, you know, many other areas. So something very important, man, because you need water. You got to have water. You can't live without water nor food. And whether you use, you know, water also for otherwise to drink, well, to bathe in, it could get in your skin, contaminants get in your skin that way. And then, you know, you gotta, if you grow your own food and whatnot, then, you know, you don't want to be watering your plants with tainted water. So a very important issue that I don't think gets enough attention. All right. There is an event coming up to address the growing controversy of autism in black boys. This will be a town hall meeting that will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. At the location is the Universal Arderend. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. It's a charter high school. I'm going to spell it A-U-D-E-N-R-I-E-D. Okay. Universal Charter, it's a high school. It's located at 3301 Tasker Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19145. This will be taking a place at between the hours of 2 and 5 o'clock p.m. It will go down this Saturday, August the 6th. So the growing controversy of autism in black boys. Some of the panelists will be Minister Tony Muhammad of the Nation of Islam, Philadelphia Council member Derek Green, one of our friends, Michael Court, who is the people's attorney up there in Philadelphia, also a talk radio host on WURD, and a man by the name of Charles Pitt. So again, this will take place August the 6th on Saturday between the hours of 2 and 5 o'clock p.m. at the Alden Wright Charter High School, located at 3301 Tasker Street. That's in Philadelphia, PA. Shout out to our listeners and our media partners with Time for Awakening Radio up there in the Philadelphia, PA area. All right. Another story you should check out, Hillary Clinton's top 10 accomplishments. And let me tell you, they are not good. They are not good. Let me see. A white terrorist who infamously murdered 4 black girls was considered for parole. You heard Brother Quabena mention that. They're talking about one of the bombers. Let me pull up the guy's name. Let me see. Let's see this guy's name. Give me just a second. This website isn't acting right. It was the church bombing that occurred in, I think that was what, Mobile, Alabama, is where that occurred, that bombing, the 16th Street Baptist Church. That was a very horrific moment in the fight to make Black Lives Matter back in the 50s and the 60s and what have you. And this website, I'm on MTV.com. Thomas Blanton. This is what Marcus Patrick Ellsworth written. I'm going to just share a little bit. He says that a white terrorist who infamously murdered 4 black girls was considered for parole. Meanwhile, our prisons are filled with black people serving life without parole for nonviolent offenses. And we can't forget our freedom fighters, the political prisoners. Thomas Blanton got away with murder for almost 40 years, but just 15 years after being sentenced to life in prison for the 1963 Birmingham church bombing that killed 4 young black girls, he was considered for parole. That bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church has burned itself into the American psyche as it underscored the urgency of the civil rights movement and the crisis of violence against black people. At the time, people feared that the Klansmen of Birmingham, the nickname the city acquired following a series of bombings targeting black communities even before the 16th Street bombing, would inspire violence elsewhere. It was highly unlikely that anyone would ever be brought to justice. Black lives mattered even less to 1960s America than they do today. The C one of the high-profile perpetrators of this violence even potentially earning early release in an era when black men and women are locked away for far longer and for much less has a particular sting. We still see black people murdered by vigilantes, white supremacist terrorists, and trigger-happy police officers who also may be white supremacist terrorists. I just added that part in there. With little to no consequence, our justice system can't curb mass incarceration or police to police, yet it allows for an infamous terrorist who got away with murder for almost 40 years to get a glimpse of freedom. Well, I'm going to end it there. Long story short, he got turned down for parole, as the community did turn out to the parole hearing to demonstrate and say, keep this terrorist behind bars where he belong. Okay. And so again, you know, when I see stories like this, I also think about the fact that the Ku Klux Klan, the world's oldest terrorist organization here in the United States, I should say, has nonprofit status, can get 501c3 status from the federal government, from the IRS, to where people can give tax-free donations to these terrorist organizations. But yet, you send some money overseas to a Muslim country, population is predominantly Muslim, and people be looking at you like you supporting terrorism, because why are you sending money to Muslims overseas? Oh, you must be, you know, trying to provide material support for ISIS or Al-Qaeda or something like that. But yet possibly millions of people can donate to these white supremacist organizations that are sanctioned to operate by the United States government by way of their tax exempt status. These people aren't being put on any kind of kill list that the CEO of USA Inc. allegedly walks around with in his suit pocket and then meets with the cabinet on Tuesday to see if we're going to take, you know, promote anybody onto the list, or if we can cross some off the list because we've killed them. Ain't none of that extrajudicial targeting of terrorists going on right here in the United States when it comes to these white supremacist terrorists. And not that I'm saying that I want that to occur. I believe in justice. Sending a drone to kill a terrorist, somebody you allege to be a terrorist, and you don't have any proof or whatever, you know. But I just want to point out the difference. The difference as we see people, you know, on the media trying to say, oh, you know, these soldiers is fighting for our safety and our freedom and all of that, and then we got terrorists, you know, who are permitted to, they don't even have to hide underground. They don't even have to hide. Again, they can solicit tax-free donations from their terrorist sympathizers and what have you, and it's all above board. It's all legal. So again, don't talk to me about no damn terrorists when these terrorists are allowed to operate openly here in the United States under the guise of freedom of speech. But when y'all kill Mr. Al-Laki, who was a Muslim cleric and a U.S. citizen who left here and went to Europe, Yemen, and he was giving sermons talking about how evil the United States government is and other things he's alleged to have said, oh, there was no freedom of speech for him. He was, you know, the Constitution didn't apply to him, nor did it apply to his 16-year-old son, who really didn't say anything but got a drone missile, you know, for his troubles all the same. So, again, before I close out, let me just go ahead and you know, give a shout-out to all the freedom fighters who are behind bars, to all the fallen soldiers as we commemorate or celebrate black resistance to white terrorism in this country, black resistance to slavery in this country, as it is Black August. So we got plenty of political prisoners still in prison, y'all, still in prison, being tortured. Some of these men and women have been in solitary confinement for decades. I bet you this white supremacist terrorist who blew up them little girls ain't being held in solitary. I bet he ain't been in no solitary for 15 damn years. So those are some of the stories coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time will be Tando Radio Show. Looks like I got Brother Dave on the line now. Brother Dave, did you have something? I see your mic is unmuted. Did you have something you wanted to add, or you just preparing for, you know, Tando coming up at 6?
Man, I was just, Scotty, I was just listening to your show, enjoying it. So I was just preparing for Tando Radio Show. I said, well, let me jump in and listen to my man Scotty's show. So and thoroughly enjoying it, brother. So keep up the great work, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to bring Tando Radio Show to your network, brother. Much love, much respect.
Well, I just got to correct you on one thing. It's our network, not mine. I may have put it
our
together.
Network. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I may have put it together, but it was not the intention of it being mine. This is for the public, for particularly black people. So thank you for being a part of it, man. Looking forward to Tando coming up at 6.
Yes, sir. Hey, Scotty, real quick, you know, and I think that is what you did in your overall intention for the network is we talked about this earlier, investing forward and you know, leaving a inheritance where you sacrifice today for the betterment of someone else. And that's the example that I truly appreciate about you and what I think is so critical for us to actually resonate with and understand the importance of it, because then that's where we can build the heaven that we deserve. So, hey, Scotty, continue doing what you're doing, and I'm just listening and enjoying the show, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. That's Brother Dave, host of Tando Radio Show. Comes on Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Right here on the network. Do want to remind you, as I get ready to close out, as I need to get back working on these reports so we can get them out to the people who have supported Black Talk Media Project financially, and also our media partners who have given their time to come on the airwaves and you know, share information and news with you. But you know, you can help us spread the message of Black Talk Radio and all the different programs by just telling a friend about it, telling a family member, you know, tell them we're on TuneIn, that they got the TuneIn app for the car, for the smartphone, for the tablet, or what have you. You can pull us up on, you know, your desktop at blacktalkradionetwork.com, and you can always get updates by email of upcoming programs and what have you that's posted by the host of the network by putting your email in the little box that's on blacktalkradionetwork.com that says get email updates. Pretty obvious, huh? All right. So as I get ready to close up, just recognize the fact again, it's war being waged out there. It ain't kind of light war. It is war out there, and casualties are being created. And unless you want to become a casualty, you should develop codification. You should develop skills. You should develop an awareness that you're always aware of your surroundings so that you don't become an easy victim. There are no 100% guarantees that I can tell you today and say if you do A, B, C, D, and E, that, you know, you won't get killed by a slave catcher today, or, you know, this won't happen. You won't be, you know, in a mall and then somebody come through, want to shoot it up, and you get shot in the back because you wasn't paying attention. I mean, there's no foolproof method for surviving on the battlefield, but you can increase your likelihood of survival. But I want to work to where we get past just surviving, and we are overcoming by dismantling this wicked evil system that inflicts the entire planet. With that said, peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.